because this is actually the Torah portion for this week. Beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy 7, verse 11. It's the Parsha Akev. It means because. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read large portions of it, because as I was praying to God about what to speak about, I kept thinking, you know, I read the Torah portion. It was amazing. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's what God wants me to speak about or not. So I kept praying about it, and it just kept bugging me. It was like something I couldn't shake out of my mind, because it's such a, like, word for now, right now in our lives, and so I had to. So I'm going to read large portions of it, but of course I'm going to be also going into the New Testament as well. But beginning verse 12. Because you are listening to these rulings, keeping and obeying them, Adonai your God will keep with you the covenant and mercy that he swore to your ancestors. He will love you, bless you, and increase your numbers. He will also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, your grain, wine, olive oil, and young of your cattle and sheep, in the land he swore to your ancestors that he would give you. You will be blessed more than all other peoples. There will not be a sterile man or female among you, and the same with your livestock. Adonai will remove all illness from you. He will not afflict you with any of Egypt's dreadful diseases, which you have known. Instead, he will lay them on those who hate you. You are to devour all the peoples that Adonai your God hands over to you. Show them no pity, and do not serve their gods, because that will become a trap for you. If you think to yourselves, these nations outnumber us, how can we dispossess them? Nevertheless, you are not to be afraid of them. You are to remember well that Adonai your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt, the great ordeals which you yourself saw, and the signs, wonders, strong hand, and outstretched arm by which Adonai your God brought you out. Adonai will do the same to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, Adonai your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left and those who hide themselves perish ahead of you. You are not to be frightened of them, because Adonai your God is there with you, a God great and fearsome. Adonai your God will expel those nations ahead of you, little by little. You can't put an end to them all at once, or the wild animals will become too numerous for you. Nevertheless, Adonai your God will give them over to you, sending one disaster after another upon them until they have been destroyed. He will hand their kings over to you, and you will wipe out their name from under heaven. None of them will be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You are to burn up completely the carved statues of their gods. Don't be greedy for the silver or gold on them. Don't take it with you, or you will be trapped by it, for it is abhorrent to Adonai your God. Don't bring something abhorrent into your house, or you will share in the curse that is on it. Instead, you are to detest it completely, loathe it utterly, for it is set apart for destruction. I'm going to keep going back to the Torah portion, though. But the thing that I spoke about last time was God's provision and what that really means. And this really tied in with it, and it wasn't meant to be some kind of series or anything like that, but it fits in with the idea that God's provision is meant for us to do his work. And so if we're seeking God's provision in our lives, we have to be doing his work. We have to be being his slaves. If we're not Christ's slaves, then we're not going to receive provision, because we're not doing what we're meant to do. And so today, while reading this Torah portion and reading about the children of Israel about to enter into the promised land and the warnings that Moses is giving them about not falling into the traps that they did fall into, about those warnings, learning that they're about to enter into their provision. They've gone through the wilderness, they've gone through those trials, and now they're about to enter into the promised land. Their provision, the provision God set aside for them, to enter into their destiny with God. And the thing is that even there, they're being tested. Because when we think about testing and trials, we normally think about Job and all the hardships he went through. But there's another kind of testing and trials that we can go through in our provision. And so like at this time before the Feast of Tabernacles, when we're supposed to be evaluating the blessings that we've been given throughout the years, and let's face it, everyone here in America has received blessings. We've received way more than we deserve. So as we're counting our blessings and seeing that, we have to recognize that God is testing us with the provisions he set aside for us. What we're doing with them, if we're obedient to him, if we're not being devoured by our own lusts and desires and pride. Because here, I want to go back to verse 25 and 26. It says, you are to burn up, talking about the idols, you are to burn up completely the carved statues of their gods. Don't be greedy for the silver or gold on them. Don't take it with you, or you will be trapped by it, for it is abhorrent to Adonai your God. Don't bring something abhorrent into your house, or you will share in the curse that is on it. Instead, you are to detest it completely, loathe it utterly, for it is set apart for destruction. We live in a world filled with loathsome idols. And we have to detest that stuff completely. We have to keep our focus on what God has called us to do with our lives. Because it comes down to the fact that what are we made of? What is our heart made of? What's inside of our heart and what are we truly made of? Because I don't know why you're here today. Only you and God know why you're here today or why you're keeping Shabbat. Only you and God know that. But right now, before atonement and before these holy days, you have to figure out for yourself what you're made of. Why you're here. Does your heart test pure? It's something each one of us is going to have to do. Because we've been given provisions. What are we doing with them? As Christians, we've gone through many trials. We will still keep going through hardships and trials. But in the good times, we're not being fed to lions in coliseums. We're not being killed. We're not being persecuted right here in America in our cush lives. So we are in this time of provision, this time and space of provision. What are we doing with it? As you count your blessings, as you go through and you think about the things that you have, it's a good question to ask what you're doing with that for God. Are you expanding his kingdom? Because if you're not, then it's time to ask, what idols are you serving? What detestable, abhorrent idols do you have in your home? It's a time that God is testing our hearts. Our entire life is a test. We go through hardships and trials, and yeah, that's part of the trials. Those are trials, and we'll read a couple of verses about them. But the thing is that our entire life is a test. God is examining us and seeing if we're worthy to serve as leaders in his kingdom. If we test through, because he needs workers, he needs slaves. And if you're not willing to be Yeshua's slave, then you need to test your heart. I want to read Deuteronomy 8 now. Because the warnings for Israel are warnings that we as the church can take as well. And yeah, you have to look at the context that they were given and see that, but you have to look at our context and where we are. But they apply to us because they were entering into the promised land. So yes, that's different. We're not in a promised land as far as we're not in God's place and we're not one holy nation as Christians together, one holy nation. But as Christians, we're dispersed over the entire earth. We're supposed to be dispersed. And when you think about people who truly believe in Torah and keep that, it's dispersed even fewer throughout the nation. We're not all one together like this is. So how does that apply to our lives? Because our mission is different right now. Our mission is to disperse throughout the world and to spread the gospel like fire. So the thing is that God will provide provision for that, whether it's trials, whether it's hardships, whether it's blessing. The thing is God's placed you in a certain place and position to let His Holy Spirit spread throughout the world like fire. And if we're not doing that, then where are we? What is our heart doing? The thing is we have to continually check it, because the thing is that we're still human. We're still flesh. We have human desires and we go into sin and the things like that. And you have to look at David. Because David had a circumcised heart. And he sinned and fell into the same entrapments that humankind falls into. The lust of the heart, those things. But the thing is does your heart test true? Only you and God can know that. Because in provision and in the hard times, that will be shown. Your actions will be shown. Verse 1. All the mitzvot I am giving you today, the commandments, you are to take care to obey, so that you will live, increase your numbers, enter and take possession of the land Adonai swore to your ancestors. But think about that verse before we go on. Keeping the commandments so that they receive blessing. But the thing is the blessing is not just so that they feel good. The blessing is to carry out God's plan. So if they're not carrying out God's plan by keeping His commandments and being that witness to all the world, because that's what Israel was for, to be a holy nation set apart by God, to be a witness of God's mighty works and wonders and His strong hand and His righteousness to the entire world. If they're not doing that, they're not going to receive provision. They're being tested and tried in their blessing and in their hardships. And now that they've come through the wilderness and all that testing, they're entering a new type of testing, a new type of trial in their blessing. How they behave with their blessing. And God, right before they enter into that, is providing them warnings. The first one, of the idols and the greediness. And there's more. You are to remember everything of the way in which Adonai led you these 40 years in the desert, humbling and testing you in order to know what was in your heart, whether you would obey His mitzvot or not. He humbled you, allowing you to become hungry, and then fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever known, to make you understand that a person does not live on food alone, but everything that comes from the mouth of Adonai. During these 40 years, the clothing you are wearing didn't grow old and your feet didn't swell up. Think deeply about it. Adonai was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his child. So obey the mitzvot of Adonai your God, living as He directs and fearing Him. For Adonai your God is bringing you into a land with streams, springs, and water welling up from the depths and valleys and on hillsides. It is a land of wheat and barley, grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food in abundance and lack nothing in it, a land where the stones contain iron and the hills can be mined for copper. So you will eat and be satisfied, and you will bless Adonai your God and for the good land He has given you. Now listen, be careful not to forget Adonai your God by not obeying His mitzvot, rulings, and regulations that I am giving you today. Otherwise, after you have eaten and are satisfied, built fine houses and lived in them, and increased your herds, flocks, silver, gold, and everything else you own, you will become proud-hearted, forgetting Adonai your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, where you lived as slaves, who led you through the vast and fearsome desert with its poisonous snakes, scorpions, and waterless, thirsty ground, who brought water out of flint rock for you, who fed you in the desert with manna, unknown to your ancestors, and all the while humbling and testing you in order to do you good in the end. You will not think to yourself, my power and the strength of my own hand have got me this wealth. No, you are to remember Adonai your God, because it is He who is giving you the power to get wealth in order to confirm His covenant, which he swore to your ancestors and is happening even today. If you forget Adonai your God, follow other gods, and serve and worship them, I am warning you in advance today that you will certainly perish. You will perish just like the nations that Adonai is causing to perish ahead of you, because you will not have heeded the voice of Adonai your God. That blessing and that provision can make us proud-hearted if we are not giving God all of the thanks and all of the glory. If we are not being slaves to Yeshua, if our lives aren't directed towards his every wish and command,
amen,
then we're being proud-hearted.
Come on.
And we're doing it for ourselves.
Come on.
The wealth and comforts that we build up, what is that going to be when the fire consumes the earth and the earth is renewed? What is all this stuff that we build up that moth can destroy? It's nothing. But are we serving Adonai? Because the thing is that, yes, we can seek more provision in our lives and those things to serve God with. But the thing is that we've already been given provision. We've already been given abundance because here, this little congregation in America is blessed and wealthy. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with the gifts that God has given each individual? The spiritual gifts, the talents, the resources. What are we directing them towards? What are we striving towards in our lives? Thing is that the warning against pride is that we have to continue to obey God. Continue to obey him. And the thing about obeying God's commandments and the things like that is that so many people will say, we don't have to keep God's commandments any longer. You're reading Old Testament stuff. That's to Israel at that time. Thing is that it said forever. This is to be a statutes forever. If you read the Gospels and you read what Yeshua, Messiah, says, he's telling you to obey the words of God. But so conveniently, we're blinded to that. Because if we don't obey God, we are making ourselves gods. We're saying God's word doesn't stand forever. God changes his mind. That's for that time. That's old and done and passed away with. And we're not worshiping him as Lord of all. If we just ignore what he tells us and directs us to do. And the thing is that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail and we're going to sin and we're going to do it. But the thing is we have to be seeking and yearning. Yearning to obey our God. Yearning to let our lives demonstrate that he is king of the universe. Do our lives, do our resources show that? Or do our lives and resources show that secular world is right? That materialism is right? And that's really hard for us. That is the trial that is before us today. We'll go through trials and hardships, yes. But this is the continuing trial of our lives right now, right here. What are we doing? And we think about our brethren in India and Kenya who don't have anything. Their trial is a different trial. What are we doing? What are we doing to help those people out, to help spread the gospel in those areas? Because the thing is that I was reading a book in the history of Christianity class, and I don't remember what it's called, but anyhow, it was really good because it talks about the global south and the way Christianity is spreading in Africa and China and those places like crazy, and even South America like crazy, and that it will overcome how many Christians are in the Western world, that it's completely reshifting in the world where Christianity is spreading. And when you read about those people, they're keeping the Hebrew root stuff. They're keeping the Old Testament and the Torah and things like that. And they're being introduced into that. And they're spirit-filled believers who are excited for God. Completely different than the lukewarm believers here in America. In England, that are just drying up. In Europe, all of Europe is already just drying up like nobody's business. And that's where everybody always thought about the center of Christianity. See, our trial is different from their trial right now. And our focus has to be on, what are we doing with the provision? Are we being lukewarm because of the provision? Are we allowing the provision to make us prideful? Are we allowing the provision to make ourselves an idol? Or are we doing what God has placed us here to do? Because when we fail in that, we're letting our lives be a total waste. We can't do that. If we truly say that we serve Yeshua the Messiah, if we truly say that He lives inside of our hearts, if we truly say we worship the King of the universe, then we have to serve Him in everything that we do. We have to serve Him in the blessing where He's placed us here in America. We have to let, in the place where we are right now, because everyone is saying, missions are amazing. But the thing is that it seems like they need to be coming and ministering to us to wake us up. Because right now, God's already setting those places on fire. They're overcoming the hardships. They're dying and being persecuted, and they're staying strong, and Christianity is still spreading. But here it's dying out. So what are we doing wrong? We've become infected with this pride because we do not obey Adonai, our God. We've become blind to it because our hearts are not circumcised. They aren't. And we can say that we believe in the new covenant as much as we want, but right here in this, when we read, I'm going to just read it now, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. So now, Israel, all that Adonai your God asks from you is to fear Adonai your God. Follow all His ways, love Him, and serve Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being. Isn't that the same for us today? To obey your own good, to obey for your own good, the mitzvot and regulations of Adonai, which I am giving you today. See, the sky, the heaven beyond the sky, and the earth, and everything on it, all belong to Adonai your God. Only Adonai took enough pleasure in your ancestors to love them and choose their descendants after them yourselves, above all peoples, as He still does today. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and don't be stiff-necked any longer. For Adonai your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who has no favorites and accepts no bribes. He secures justice for the orphan and the widow. He loves the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, you are to love the foreigner since you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You are to fear Adonai your God, serve Him, cling to Him, and swear by His name. He is your praise, and He is your God. Who has done for you these great and awesome things which you have seen with your own eyes? Your ancestors went down into Egypt with only 70 people, but now Adonai your God has made your numbers as many as the stars in the sky. Thing is that we can say we believe in the new covenant, but the thing is that most of the people who say, I believe in the new covenant, but, you know, this old covenant is completely done away with, don't have circumcised hearts. God has always wanted us to have circumcised hearts. Since the beginning, He's wanted His people to have circumcised hearts. Because here, we're reading this in Deuteronomy. That's been His goal and focus, is to let mankind circumcise their hearts and serve Him and worship Him from their hearts. It's never been about deeds cleansing our hearts. Deeds won't cleanse our hearts. Our hearts have to be cleansed and circumcised and humbled before God, broken before God, so that we serve Him with everything. It has to be the outflowing of our hearts. And the thing is that right now we're being tested on what the content of our hearts is. And the thing is that anybody can come in and pretend that they have a circumcised heart, but the only thing is God knows, you know. And if you don't know, that's when you come and seek before God. Seek and look at your own ways. Examine your ways. Examine your heart. And come before God and pour yourself out as an offering to Him. In everything. Because that's what God's always been seeking. And that's what we'll be tested in the entire time we're drawing breath. We'll be tested in that right there. Are we doing His work? You know, I think I read the parable of the talents last time. I'm not sure. But the thing is that are we being slaves to God? Are we bringing Him profit for His kingdom? Because we've all been given something. Are we expanding it and multiplying it for His kingdom? I'd like to read now Deuteronomy 11. Therefore, you are to love Adonai your God and always obey His commission, regulations, rulings, and mitzvot. Today, it is you I am addressing, not your children, who haven't known or experienced the discipline of Adonai your God, His greatness, His strong hand, His outstretched arm, His signs and His actions, which He did in Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to his entire country. See, this applies to us today because of the fact that we have gone through trials and stuff in our lives. We're supposed to have gone through that. We're supposed to have seen God's mighty hand working in the fact that He sent His one and only Son to die for our sins and that we've accepted Him and He lives inside of our hearts. We have seen God's hand in its most powerful way. If we have the Holy Spirit and we confess that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that is the greatest gift that mankind's been given. And eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah. So we've seen His hand at work. Therefore, what He's saying applies to us because we've seen His hand at work. We're supposed to have gone through trials and tribulations, things like that. They didn't experience what He did to Egypt's army, horses, and chariots, how Adonai overwhelmed them with the water and the Sea of Suf as they were pursuing you, so that they remain destroyed to this day. We have seen death be overcome. We have seen Christ do that wonderful, amazing work, overcoming the devil in our lives, overcoming what we've done to ourselves through sin and perishing. Regenerating our spirits so that we can serve Him and be transformed into His likeness. How much greater is that? That we are supposed to be witnessing in our lives every single day. Because we look at the Israelites and we go, oh, see, they saw the chariots be swept up in the Red Sea. We didn't see that. You know, we haven't seen those things. The thing is, we've seen something so much greater. We've seen death and sin die. We've seen Christ overcome these things. Overcome the power of sin in our own lives. They didn't experience what He kept doing for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, or what He did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the descendants of Reuven. How the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, along with their households, tents, and every living thing in their company, there in front of all Israel. But you have seen with your own eyes all these great deeds of Adonai. Therefore, you are to keep every mitzvah I am giving you today, so that you will be strong enough to go in and take possession of the land you are crossing over to conquer, and so that you will live long in the land Adonai swore to give to your ancestors and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you are entering in order to take possession of it isn't like the land of Egypt. There you would sow your seed and you had to use your feet to operate its irrigation system as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing over to take possession of is a land of hills and valleys, which soaks up water when rain falls from the sky. It is the land Adonai your God cares for. The eyes of Adonai your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So if you listen carefully to my mitzvot, which I am giving you today, to love Adonai your God and serve him with all your heart and all your being, then says Adonai, I will give your land its rain at the right seasons, including the early fall rains and late spring rains, so that you can gather in your wheat, new wine, and olive oil. And I will give your fields grass for your livestock, with the result that you will eat and be satisfied. But be careful not to let yourselves be seduced, so that you turn aside serving other gods and worshiping them. If you do, the anger of Adonai will blaze up against you. He will shut up the sky so that there will be no rain. The ground will not yield its produce, and you will quickly pass away from the good land Adonai is giving you. Therefore, you are to store up these words of mine in your heart and in all your being. Tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them on the front of a headband around your forehead. Teach them carefully to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you are traveling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that you and your children will live long in the land Adonai swore to your ancestors, that he would give them for as long as there is sky above the earth. For if you will take care to obey all these mitzvot I am giving you, to do them, to love Adonai your God, to follow all his ways and to cling to him, then Adonai will expel all these nations ahead of you, and he will dispossess nations bigger and stronger than you are. Wherever the sole of your footsteps will be yours, your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon, and from the river, the Euphrates River, to the western sea. No one will be able to withstand you. Adonai your God will place the fear and dread of you on all the lands you step on, as he told you. He will conquer those places. He will conquer things in our lives if we're going to serve him. With our lives. With the provision he's given us. That is our test, and that's our trial. I'd like to turn to Matthew 4. It corresponds with what's going on here in Deuteronomy. It's Yeshua in the wilderness being tested by Satan. Starting in verse 1. Where Yeshua is actually quoting from this part of Deuteronomy every time he answers. Then the Spirit led Yeshua up into the wilderness to be tempted by the adversary. After Yeshua had fasted 40 days and nights, he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, order these stones to become bread." But he answered, "The Tanakh says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai." Then the adversary took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "jump, for the Tanakh says, he will order his angels to be responsible for you. They will support you with their hands so that you will not hurt your feet on these stones." Yeshua replied to him, "But it also says, do not put Adonai, your God, to the test." Once more the adversary took him up to the summit of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, and said to him, "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." "Away with you, Satan," Yeshua told him, "for the Tanakh says, worship Adonai your God and serve him only." Then the adversary let him alone, and the angels came and took care of him. I thought it was interesting because here he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He had been sent to the wilderness, and this so parallels what's going on with Israel. Because he's here in the wilderness, like they had been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, and they're about to enter the promised land, and these are the very things that attacked Israel, that God warned them about. About becoming prideful, and about worshiping idols, and about building up the wealth that God, that God's giving them and using it only for themselves and saying, look what I've done. The same things, and how it parallels, and how Jesus conquered. How Yeshua is showing us how to conquer. Those are the same attacks that we face as Christians. The same attacks that face Israel, the same temptations that Yeshua faced in the wilderness and defeated. I'd like to turn to Exodus 20, verse 1. It's the giving of the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments are like an outline for all of the Torah. Amen. So, when people say, well, I believe that the Ten Commandments should be kept up in America in the courthouses and things like that, and you don't believe in the rest of Torah and you think it's worthless, it's an oxymoron. Because right here, each one of these Ten Commandments is expanded to include all of Torah. All of it. What about remember the Sabbath day? That is a Ten Commandment. It says, then God said all these words, I'm Adonai your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. You are not to use the name of Adonai your God, because you are not to use lightly the name of Adonai your God, because Adonai will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly. What a warning for us who we call ourselves Christians. We put his name, you know, in what we define ourselves as. You know, the Messiah. We are followers of Messiah Yeshua. Remember the day Shabbat, to set it apart for God. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat for Adonai your God. On it you are not to do any kind of work, not you, your son, or your daughter, not your male or female slave, not your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates to your property. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. This is why Adonai blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated it for himself. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land which Adonai your God is giving you. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false evidence against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people experienced the thunder, the lightning, the sound of the shofar, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled, standing at a distance. They said to Moshe, "You speak with us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak with us, or we will die." Moshe answered the people, "Don't be afraid, because God has come only to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins." So the people stood at a distance, but Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Adonai said to Moshe, "Here is what you are to say to the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen that I spoke with you from heaven. You are not to make with me gods of silver, nor are you to make gods of gold for yourselves. For me, you need make only an altar of earth. On it you will sacrifice your burnt offerings, peace offerings, sheep, goats, and cattle. In every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. If you do not make me, if you make me an altar of stone, you are not to build it of cut stones. For if you use a tool on it, you profane it. Likewise, you are not to use steps to go up to my altar, so that you won't be indecently uncovered." Here, God has been testing them with the fear of the Lord, you know, to see, will you obey me? When I show you, they heard his voice. They saw the smoke on the mountain. And it's like, will you still go and worship other gods? Will you still go off and basically, idolatry is adultery to God. They're supposed to be in covenant with God, and they go off with other gods and idols, things that aren't even real. And it's the same thing that's going to test us continually, because God wants people who are going to be faithful, obedient, who are going to love him with all of their heart, mind, and soul. And that's all he's been looking for, is people who are going to stand up and do that, who are going to love him with everything, who are going to serve him with everything. And the thing we all have to ask ourselves, are we one of those people? Are we proving faithful during the middle of the week when we're not at church? Are we serving other gods? Do we have those other things? We've been given abundance. What are we doing with that abundance? Are we building it up for ourselves and being prideful? Look what I've done with all this. Look what my hands have done. Look at that. And then when we do that, we think that that all is for us, just our pleasure, all of our pleasure. Yeah, God is not against us enjoying our lives. That's not at all what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if our lives are not directed towards God's kingdom, then we're wasting them completely. Completely. I'm going to turn to Psalm 26. Vindicate me, Adonai, for I have lived a blameless life. Unwavering, I trust in Adonai. Examine me, Adonai. Test me. Search my mind and heart, for your grace is there before my eyes, and I live my life by your truth. I have not sat with worthless folks. I won't consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence and walk around your altar, Adonai, lifting my voice in thanks and proclaiming all your wonders. Adonai, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory abides. Don't include me with sinners or my life with the bloodthirsty. In their hands are evil schemes. Their right hands are full of bribes. As for me, I will live a blameless life. Redeem me and show me favor. My feet are planted on level ground. In the assemblies, I will bless Adonai. We have to yearn for him to test us. Testing and trials are not something to be fearful of. Whether they're hardships or whether we're being tested in abundance, we're not supposed to be afraid. We should crave his testing. We should crave to be found blameless in his sight. Because we should always want to be right with God, not hiding from God like Adam and Eve did in the garden after they sinned. We shouldn't want to be hiding. We should immediately. David committed awful sin. And it's displayed for all of us to read, where he committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband to cover up his own sin. But he is asking God to search his heart. He's saying, I'm blameless. Because the thing is that it's the heart, the circumcision of the heart, the humility. Because humility is turning from sin and wanting brethren to point out something if they see sin in your life, not being scared of it or angry or offended, but wanting someone to recognize something out of love and show it to them. Wanting God to examine and test our hearts. Wanting to see what the content of our heart is. We should crave it and desire that. Because in that, we can make We can become right with God. We can repent when we find something. We can turn back and be blameless before Him. And the blood of Yeshua will cover it. And we can turn back and serve Him and worship Him. We should want that. We should crave it. We should desire it. I like to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For brothers, I don't want you to miss the significance of what happened to our fathers. All of them were guided by the pillar of cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And in connection with the cloud and with the sea, they all immersed themselves into Moshe. Also, they all ate the same food from the Spirit, and they all drank the same drink from the Spirit, for they drank from a Spirit-sent rock, which followed them, and that rock was the Messiah. Yet with the majority of them, God was not pleased, so their bodies were strewn across the desert. Now these things took place as prefigurative historical events, warning us not to set our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As the Tanakh puts it, the people sat down to eat and drink, then got up to indulge in revelry. And let us not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, with the consequences that 23,000 died in a single day. And let us not put the Messiah to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by snakes. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as prefigurative historical events, and they were written down as a warning to us who are living in the Acharit Hayamim, which is the end days. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he is standing up be careful not to fall. No temptation has seized you beyond what people normally experience, and God can be trusted not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. On the contrary, along with the temptation, He will also provide the way out, so that you will be able to endure. Therefore, my dear friends, run from idolatry. I speak to you as sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I am saying. The cup of blessing over which we make the barukah, isn't it a sharing in the bloody sacrificial death of the Messiah? The bread we break, isn't it sharing in the body of the Messiah? Because there is one loaf of bread, we who are many constitute one body, since we all partake of one loaf of bread. Look at physical Israel. Don't those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? So what am I saying? That food sacrificed to idols has any significance in itself? Or that an idol has significance in itself? No. What I'm saying is that the things which pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice not to God, but to demons. I don't want you to become sharers of the demons. You can't drink both a cup of the Lord and a cup of demons. You can't partake in both the meal of the Lord and the meal of demons. Or are we trying to make the Lord jealous? We aren't stronger than He is, are we? Everything is permitted, you say. Maybe, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permitted. Maybe, but not everything is edifying. No one should be looking out for his own interests, but for those of his fellow. Here, that's providing as an example. And here, Paul is using that as an example for the church of what happened to the Israelites, falling into idolatry. And we can't partake of both cups. We cannot say that we are in the body of Messiah, that we constitute the body of Messiah and serve God and ourselves, or God or any other idol we put up for ourselves. I like to turn to 1 Peter 4. Twelve through 19. There is but one giver of Torah. He is also the judge with the power to deliver and to destroy. Who do you think you are, judging your fellow human being? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Stay there a year trading and make profit. You don't even know if you will be alive tomorrow, for all you are is a mist that appears. No, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry, 1 Peter. Therefore, since the Messiah suffered physically, you too are to arm yourselves with the same attitude. Let's see, that's not... What am I doing? 12. There we go. Dear friends, don't regard as strangers the fiery ordeal occurring among you to test you, as if something extraordinary was happening to you. Rather, to the extent that you share the fellowship of the Messiah's suffering, rejoice, so that you will rejoice even more when his Shekinah is revealed. If you are being insulted because you bear the name of the Messiah, how blessed you are! For the spirit of the Shekinah, that is the spirit of God, is resting on you. Let none of you suffer for being a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other people's affairs. But if anyone suffers for being messianic, let him not be ashamed, but let him bring glory to God by the way he bears this name. For the time has come for the judgment to begin. It begins with the household of God. And if it starts with us, what will the outcome be for those who are disobeying God's good news? If the righteous is barely delivered, where will the ungodly and sinful end up? So let those who are suffering according to God's will entrust themselves to care to a faithful Creator by continuing to do what is good. The judgment begins on the household of God. We have to test true. It's our responsibility and obligations as slaves to Christ for our hearts to test pure. It's like it says, if the household of God doesn't prove true, what and is judged and destroyed because they're not being delivered and they're barely delivered, what's true for the rest of the world? Because if we're not being pure and tested true and not obeying his commandments and being true slaves of Christ and our hearts aren't circumcised, then what hope does the rest of the world have? Our duty is to spread this, to spread God's true gospel to all of the world. Are we doing that? We've been given the resources. We've been given the provisions. What are we doing with our resources and provisions? We have to be serving him. We have to be using this to expand his kingdom. That is our commission. Because the thing is that so many people are blinded. So many people are asleep here in America. And like I was talking about the mission thing before, but I got sidetracked by talking about that, is the fact that our mission is here now in America. We have to wake people up. There's a slumber over so much of this Western world, and people are sending missionaries out there with their slumbering Christianity to other countries. And the thing is that we need to be helping wake people up with true love of Christ in our hearts for them. Because if we have true love of Christ in our hearts, we'll want people to know. We'll want people to serve God, to wake up and to love him with all their hearts. That would be our one desire for anyone. If we're only loving ourselves, then we don't care what happens to them. But if the love of Christ is living inside of us, then we should want these people to love God with all their hearts, and that should be our mission in life. To bring people to the knowledge of God and truth and his Messiah. To build up the kingdom of God so that people can find the meaning in their lives by serving Yeshua, by becoming his slaves and finding that that's where they find their lives. And that's what we have to do. That has to be our goal and our commission. And every day that we're drawing breath, that has to be our focus. I'd like to turn to James chapter 1. Verse 2. Well, beginning in one. From Yaakov, a slave of God and of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, to the 12 tribes in the diaspora. Shalom. Regard it all as joy, my brothers, when you face various kinds of temptations, for you know that the testing of your trust produces perseverance. But let perseverance do its complete work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in trust, doubting nothing, for the doubter is like a wave in the sea, being tossed and driven by the wind. Indeed, that person should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Let the brother in humble circumstances boast about his high position, but let the richer brother boast about his being humbled, since, like a wildflower, he will pass away. For just as the sun rises with the sharav and dries up the plant, so its flower falls off and its beauty is destroyed. So too, the rich person going about his business will wither away. I'm going to keep going. How blessed is the man who perseveres through temptation. For after he has passed the test, he will receive as his crown the life which God has promised to those who love him. No one being tempted should say, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and God himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is being tempted whenever he is being dragged off and enticed by the bait of his own desire. Then having conceived the desire gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't delude yourselves, my dear brothers. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who made the heavenly lights. With him there is neither variation nor darkness caused by turning. Having made his decision, he gave birth to us through a word that can be relied upon, in order that we should be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Therefore, my dear brothers, let every person be quick to listen, but slow to speak, slow to get angry, for a person's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So rid yourselves of all vulgarity and obvious evil, and receive meekly the word implanted in you that can save your lives. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. For whoever hears the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, who looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom and continues, becoming not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. Anyone who thinks he is religiously observant, but does not control his tongue, is deceiving himself, and his observance counts for nothing. The religious observance that God the Father considers pure and faultless is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being contaminated by the world. Amen. And the thing is that when he's talking about the word of God at that time was only Tanakh. It was only the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They didn't have the Gospels printed out or any of these things printed out. It was just Tanakh. It was just the Torah. And when he says be faithful to do what the word says, he's talking about being faithful and doing what the Torah says, what Tanakh says. I'd like to turn to Psalm 66 now. There's so much in that. We're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to allow God to test and try us, rejoicing in that. Shout to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Tell God how awesome are your deeds. At your great power, your enemies cringe. All the earth bows down to you, sings praises to you, sings praises to your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome dealings with humankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoice in him. With his power he rules forever. His eyes keep watch over on the nations. Let no rebel arise to challenge him. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He preserves our lives and keeps our feet from stumbling. For you, God, have tested us, refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net and bound our bodies fast. You made men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and water, but you brought us out to a place of plenty. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will fulfill my vows to you, those my lips pronounced and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals along with the sweet smoke of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. Had I cherished evil thoughts, Adonai would not have listened. But in fact, God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Blessed be God, who did not reject my prayer or turn his grace away from me. We have to be refined like silver. We have to be refined like gold. And in that, through all the things, we have to praise him. We have to rejoice in that, in any testing and trial that we're given. And then, in our plenty that he's given us, test true by praising his name with it. Because here, it's talking with the fattened calves, with all these things to be given. I made an altar and offered these things to Adonai. With what he has given us and the plenty that we receive, we have to give that offering and thanks to Adonai. So many of the songs were with the sermon, because like the one, I will praise you with my life, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give offerings of our life. I want to turn to Proverbs 27, verse 21. It says, the crucible tests silver, the furnace tests gold, but a person is tested by his reaction to praise, and it's also by his praise. And the thing is that, you know, how are we praising God with our lives, with everything that we do? That is how we're tested. We're tested by our praise. Are our lives praising God in everything? Are we giving him those offerings from the blessing? Are we praising him with everything he's given, with all the gifts that he has given us? Now I'd like to turn to close with Luke 8, 4 through 15. Luke 8, 4. Not so much reminding you guys where it is, but reminding myself where it is. I have to double check. After a large crowd had gathered from the people who kept coming to him from the town after town, Yeshua told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was stepped on, and the birds flying around ate it up. Some fell on rock, and after it sprouted, it dried up from lack of moisture. Some fell in the midst of thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it was choked it. But some fell into rich soil, and grew, and produced 100 times as much as had been sown. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear with, let him hear." His Talmudim asked him what this parable might mean, and he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but the rest are taught in parables, so that they may look but not see, and listen but not understand. The parable is this, the seed is God's message. The ones along the path are those who hear, but then the adversary comes and takes the message out of their hearts in order to keep them from being saved by trusting it. The ones on rock are those who, when they hear the word, accept it with joy. But these have no root. They go on trusting for a while, but when a time of testing comes, they apostatize. And as for what fell in the midst of thorns, these are the ones who hear, but they go along worries and wealth of life's gratifications, crowd in and choke them, so that their fruit never matures. But what fell in rich soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the message, hold on to it with a good, receptive heart, and by persevering, they bring forth a harvest. Not one who has lit a lamp covers it with a bowl or puts it under a bed. No, he puts it on a stand so that those coming by may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. Nothing is covered up that will not be known and come out into the open. Pay attention, then, to how you hear. For anyone who has something will be given more. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he seems to have will be taken away. It's just like the whole message of the kingdom of God, like he says, is like the mustard seed. It's like the smallest little thing can be planted and make a huge harvest. So what kind of hearts do we have? When we hear the word of God, do we let it grow? Do we produce a harvest from what we've been given? Or will what little bit that we have be taken away from us? Will it be choked out? And will the cares of the world crowd in? And that's the thing, is that we have to test and be proven sure. We have to allow God to come in and circumcise our hearts and make our hearts receptive so that we can be the plowed ground that accepts that seed. It's our choice. It's not as if our heart, God made us with those hearts and we don't have a choice over which one we are. No, we have a choice. We have to let God test our hearts and circumcise our hearts and make it pliable and make it the good plowed ground so that when the word comes, it will produce a harvest for his kingdom. Father God, I come before you and I just pray, Lord God, that you would just test all of us, Lord God. Test the worth of our hearts. Test the contents of our hearts, Lord God. Pray that you'll find that all of our hearts are pure before you. And if they aren't, Lord God, I pray that you would help us root out all wickedness, root out all sin. That you would purify us, Lord God, so that we can serve you and so that we can bring a harvest for your glory. I pray, Lord God, with everything that you've given, every blessing, that we can bless you with it, Lord God. Please, Lord God, speak to us. Show us your ways. Show us what you want us to do with what you have given us, Lord God. We ask and seek your face. We seek your will, Lord God, and we come before you with obedient hearts. What would you have us to do, Lord God? And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity, that you would let us see, that you would clear the mud from our eyes so that we know what you want us to do. And I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us with the Spirit so that we can do it. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.